by myself. Place to call, call home. I see you looking back at me, and you're beautiful.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of Set Lusting Bruce, your podcast all about Bruce Springsteen, his music, and mostly his fans. I am your host, Jesse Jackson. We are doing another timey-wimey episode. It is my morning, my guest afternoon. Ian, welcome to the podcast, and good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for allowing me to join you. Really yes. Looking forward to it.
So I am enjoying a nice cup of coffee. Are you enjoying a beverage?
I've got a little glass of water just in case.
Okay. I didn't know. Sometimes my afternoon guest will, because it's usually on a weekend, will have a glass of wine or a tasty ale or
whiskey.
Oh,
that would be nice. Yes. That would be nice. Yeah. If I had any alcohol during the day, I'd fall asleep.
Okay.
We're not probably advisable.
But, yes, I understand that. Okay. Let's start out. Tell us a little about yourself.
Yeah, born and bred in the historic city of Lincoln, which has a beautiful cathedral, an old Roman city, which is about 130 miles north of London. Yeah, so I was born and bred there. When I was about 22, I had a sabbatical from work to go to London, Ontario in Canada, and which is interesting because the only thing of North America I ever had seen prior to that was on TV. And so I had all these visions of North America through Springsteen songs. And for example, all the American cars you have, you don't get in the UK. And so I get off the plane, I get collected from a family friend in this massive Buick, which is all alien to an Englishman. And then I see the 7-Eleven store, which from Springsteen song Racing in the Street, you don't get 7-Eleven in the UK. So all of a sudden, all these images from Springsteen songs were in front of me. So,
I love that story. That is amazing, yeah. Right? You're going, what?
Yeah, you just in the UK, especially in the 80s, you've got to remember, there was no internet in those days. So the only thing, the view of North America was simply through films and television. And then to see it all there in front of me, it was pretty cool.
I love that. And we're going to get to your Bruce story in a minute, but I always like to start at the beginning. So you talked about growing up in Lincoln.
Yeah.
So tell me, like, what kind of music was your family listening to?
Mm-hmm. So my parents really weren't particularly into music.
Okay.
You're going to find this very hard to believe, but in the UK, there was a BBC program called Top of the Pops. I don't know if you've heard of it.
It is
a massive program on the BBC.
Yes, been brought up often by people who visit with us. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So in the 70s and 80s, there used to be these LPs called Top of the Poppers. And what Top of the Poppers were basically people doing cover versions of bands, but trying to sound exactly like them. So my introduction to a lot of, for example, Simon and Garfunkel, who I really like. My introduction to Simon and Garfunkel wasn't their original stuff. It was Top of the Poppers, which is amazing. So these are really cheap albums. You could get at like Woolworths.
Yeah.
But so my parents, like I say, they weren't really into music. My father, he liked people like, I do remember he had the Ink Spots. I think we were an American band. He had an album from the Ink Spots. I remember that. He liked Acker Bilt, who you probably never heard of. He was a clarinet player. Val Dinikin and Doris Day. He was a great fan of Doris Day.
Sure.
But the one album he did have, which I really liked, was he had a Love compilation by Roberta Flack.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
I thought that was an amazing record.
Oh, how fun.
So if anything came from her parents, it was probably the Roberta Flack album, to be fair.
So Top of the Pops was a big part of you growing up. What other kind of music, what other way did you discover music, since they weren't big fans?
It's really interesting. In the 70s when I was growing up, and also in the 80s, there wasn't much music radio on. In fact, they were so against it. You had all these pirate radio stations.
I've seen the movie. Don't know how good it is.
But Radio Caroline, which was based in the North Sea to avoid the British authorities. So there was Radio 1 and Radio 2, which were music stations. Radio 1 was for younger people. But I think it turned off like at 6 in the evening. I used to listen to Radio Luxembourg, which was broadcast on AM from the country of Luxembourg. So that's how I used to listen to music in the evening.
What is hilarious is I never was. I grew up in a small town in Louisiana, and my parents listened to just country radio. I didn't hear any rock and roll, except if my mom wanted to play a record of Chubby, like Fats Domino or Bobby Darin. But once I got my own little AM clock radio, I found the local rock station, and that's what I started listening to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but you hear stories of people in small towns where the AM, there are these massive AM stations, like in the Midwest, that have this powerful signal that like you hear stories that people would listen to the station that originally do the Grand Ole Opry night because the radio waves would carry.
That's right.
But yours is the first that told me another country.
You wouldn't be able to pick it up in the daytime. It uses atmospheric conditions in the evening to bounce off.
Yeah.
So it was only broadcast for British listeners in the evening because there's no music radio. It's hard to believe now. It's unbelievable. Yeah. That's how it was. So that's how I used to listen to music. My music tastes were a little different to my peers, actually. So
tell me a little bit about that.
Really was into more American artists.
Okay.
In the UK, there's an American chap called Paul Gambaccini. It probably means nothing to you. I don't know.
Okay.
He's he's an adopted Brit, basically. He did the American charts on Radio 1, or was it Radio 2 on the BBC? So I used to listen to the American charts every week. It used to be on a Saturday afternoon. I used to listen to the American charts, and then used to get the top 20 charts on BBC on a Sunday night. So I had both a North American and a sort of British view of music, which was great. So where my music tastes went, my sister and I, we bought a record for my father for his birthday, 52nd Street by Billy Joel.
I
absolutely loved it. It was wonderful. But I was getting to a point where I wanted to find some different sort of music. And so I think in the UK, it was all, I think they call it a new romantic, like the Human League or this electronic sort of music. So I used to read Melody Maker and New Music Express. And every time Billy Joel was referred to, they used to mention this Bruce Springsteen. It's unbelievable, but Bruce Springsteen really wasn't played on radio in the UK. I never heard any of his stuff at all. Clearly, people knew of him who were in the know, but I didn't. So I remember it like yesterday. It must have been 1980. I went to Andy Records in Lincoln, and I heard about this Bruce Springsteen. Of course, there's only students. I didn't have much money. But I was going through the records and saw the Born to Run. And that, what an invite the cover is to see Springsteen there with clouds.
Absolutely, yes.
And I love the saxophone because obviously Billy Joel has a lot of sax on his music.
Yeah.
So I bought this record, never heard Springsteen ever. And I put the record on to be greeted by Thunder Road, basically changed my musical life. So cinematic. It was epic. It was like an opera. It was just never heard anything like that at all. And then I think a week later, I went out and started buying every record prior to that, meetings and what have you. But so that's how I got into Springsteen. Never looked back.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course. I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
I want to go back to, if your dad wasn't that big of a music fan, why were you guys buying him a Billy Joel record?
I think he probably liked, I think it was Radio 2 was playing Billy Joel.
Okay.
I think it was Honesty or one of the tracks from the hits he had in the UK.
Yeah, okay.
And I think that's why we thought Dad might like this. I quite liked it anyway, the single.
Yeah, that's good. Sometimes we buy a gift for our loved ones that we really, it's for us. It's
yes.
That's great.
How cynical, but you're absolutely right.
Yeah, no, yeah. I've been raising my hand. I'm guilty of that sometimes. So I love that. That's a very good Bruce origin story. And you talked a little bit about it, but if you could expand, you talked about how much cinematic and how much vision, but can you articulate a little more depth why his music spoke to you so much?
It's quite a strange one, considering I'm British. And like I said before, my only sort of, and it's Springsteen is clearly very American type of music.
Right.
And I suppose that's probably one of the things that gives all these images and visions of North America.
Yeah.
And everything in the UK was black and white in those days, I tell you. I remember when I first went to London, Ontario and Canada, it was like, gosh, all these drive-throughs, bright lights everywhere. In the UK, it's shut at 6 o'clock. There was no drive-throughs, supermarkets were shut, nothing to do.
Yeah.
And so you had all these sort of visions of America, which I loved. And then, of course, you got the music and the lyrics. I mean, they're epic stories, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
And then you got the musicianship to back it up. Yeah. It's just got everything.
Yeah, I've talked this story many times on the podcast, and I wish I could find the article. But someone did, on April Fool's Day, an article that took the premise that Bruce was a Pulitzer Prize-winning writer. And they did a summary of all his books that were basically the names of the albums.
Yeah.
And I said, I'd love to live in that alternate world where Bruce is my favorite writer, not my favorite musician. Though someone brought up yesterday, he said, or earlier this week, he goes, we did get the stories anyway. They just were in music. And I go, that's true.
Yeah,
I think I think especially, I feel like Western Stars is a collection of short stories. It just, yeah. It feels like it could be written by Elmore Leonard or Zane Grey or someone. Yeah, I absolutely feel that. You're a young lad in the UK finding Bruce.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, there weren't many people into Springsteen in the UK. He had a core following. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
but it wasn't. I was at school, high school, and I think all my school friends thought that was crazy. What's he playing?
Who's this guy?
But I was going to say about Springsteen. He's a very frustrating artist, I find.
Tell me a little more.
I'm going to show you a book. Sure. Which I bought in 1980, I think, and this opened me to the world. No internet, remember? So there's no Google Springsteen. This book here.
Yay!
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what I mean by frustrating, if you go to the back of the book,
yeah,
near the very back, there's a page which says the songs, and there's hundreds of songs which he's never released.
Oh wow!
And a lot of them have been released now, but I remember I used to go down to the Lincoln Market. And there was a guy in a record store, a real tall guy, ginger hair with a beard. Yeah. And he used to sell all these bootleg Springsteen tapes.
Yes.
So I used to try and find out all these bootlegs, because you couldn't go on YouTube and just listen to a bootleg. You had to, if you wanted to, you had to really look for it.
Yeah.
And I had the original studio version of Because the Night.
Oh.
I was thinking, how did this... What was the management decision not to include that on Darkness? Now, I went to a book signing with Steve Van Zandt last year.
Yeah.
Came over to just about 10 miles north of me in a city called Ely in Cambridgeshire.
Yeah.
And everyone had their hand up to ask a question.
Yeah.
One question I wanted to ask him was, what was the rationale for leaving some of these classic songs off the album? Certainly Because the Night very much fits Darkness on the Edge of Town. It's in keeping with the album. Yeah. It's just crazy. I don't know if it's a marketing ploy that we all think Springsteen, he's such a fantastic songwriter, he can give away a song like it because
I don't think so. In fact, I can't remember which interview, but when they put out the Promise box set, which is a great double album.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. You go, gosh, all of this. Mm-hmm. And it actually, I remember Stephen talking about it. It feels like an album. It feels like a series of themes.
Yeah, yeah.
Unlike Tracks is just brilliant, but it is patchwork.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And Lil Stephen said, if Bruce had wanted to, he thinks he could have been one of the best pop music writers
absolutely,
of his generation if he wanted to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can't remember which song, but some song that Stephen said, we're not giving this one away.
And
I don't know if you've got to hear, being in UK, there was Southside Johnny, Little Stephen and Bruce doing one of those My Home to Yours. And they played one of the tracks that weren't officially released. And Johnny's like, how did this thing not get released?
I know,
and Stephen and Bruce are like, I just
crazy. Didn't.
Yeah, it crazy. Is crazy.
It's very generous as well, because I've got the original studio outtake of Because the Night.
Yeah.
I know he credits Patti Smith with the writing. Clearly, it's a Springsteen song, and Patti Smith has probably changed a couple of words.
Yeah.
On the version I've got, he hums a little bit, and that's where but he's very generous to give the writing.
Well, and to him, though, in his mind, he is saying that because his mind isn't finished, right? It isn't finished. And her making those few changes in his mind, that finished it. In his mind, I think that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Talk about seeing him live. You've had opportunities now, but at that age.
Talk
to me about that first experience and then.
Yeah, it's brilliant. So I've got all my facts.
Okay.
And what concerts I've been to. Okay. I know some of your guests have been to like hundreds. I haven't. I've been to about 12 or 13.
Okay.
And my first concert was Wembley, which is in London, in 1985.
Okay.
And where he opens up with Independence Day. So it was on the Independence Day I saw him.
Okay.
Just incredible. And his first big concert I've ever been to, I'm quite young. First big concert I've ever been to. But it was so good. The following weekend, I played golf and I was in what they call a shotgun tournament where all the tees are, they're all loaded. Shotgun, you play at 6:30 in the morning and you all get round at the same time, have breakfast. And I was with a mate and I was saying to him that last weekend I saw Springsteen. It was unbelievable. That same day, he was playing round Hay Park in Leeds. Yeah. We got in the car and we drove up, no tickets, and we took our faithful ticket tout and I got in. And I have to say, round Hay Park is possibly my all-time favourite Springsteen concert. I wasn't expecting to go. Beautiful setting, beautiful weather, fantastic set list. And if you go on YouTube, you can see the local news report about round Hay Park. Superb event.
Yeah, and it's that unexpected. Like, yeah. I was in Louisville for a tour, and they had done Shout. And so it was the end of the show, and everyone is leaving the stage.
Yeah.
Right? And I saw Max give a drumstick to someone in the audience, right?
Oh, yeah.
And all of a sudden, Bruce picked up his guitar, and you could feel the band like, wait, what? And they did Bobby Jean.
Oh, yeah, yeah. One of my favorites.
Yeah, and it felt like it's Christmas afternoon at 3 in the afternoon, 4 in the afternoon. You're getting ready for the Doctor Who Christmas special. You're excited. Okay. And yeah. All of a sudden, someone says, wait, we didn't. Here's a gift under the tree no one saw. Oh, wait, and it's not socks, which I love socks, but I'm saying it's a really cool gift, right? And you're like, I didn't expect that. And that one song felt like this bonus. So oh, yeah. I can imagine you're playing golf, talking to your mate, and he goes, and you guys go, let's go.
Yeah, absolutely.
F it. Yeah. But the only thing we're going to lose is time.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, we could have bought an invalid ticket, of course. But
yeah.
We were young. We didn't worry about that. And it was a fantastic, fantastic concert. So I've got some memories of other concerts as well.
I want to hear them. But I love that idea, right? That the spur of the moment. And it's often, I had Brian on the podcast a couple of months ago, and he talked about... He said the set list is the final score of a sporting match.
Yeah.
It doesn't tell you about the dynamics. It doesn't tell you about the stuff that happened in the match. Mm. It doesn't tell you about who was at the show with you. And so the combination of, I could see why that's your favorite, because that would be a story I would tell all the time.
Yeah.
That just, hey, yeah, we just decided to go and we went and we got tickets and we got to see and the weather was beautiful. So, yeah. So, please tell me some more live stories, please.
You know, some of the stories about his friendships you make as well. So,
yes.
On the Ghost of Tom Joad tour, it was, again, there was no Ticketmaster. So, you went to the ticket office in Lincoln, you bought your tickets and often came with a coach trip as well. So, you bought a ticket plus a coach to get down to London.
Okay.
A coach that goes through every damn village going from Lincoln to London. It must have taken hours to get there, but that's not the story. So he was playing, where was it in London? I can't think of the venue. Anyway, so it was in London where we were doing the concert, and there was a guy waiting for the bus, and it's an Italian.
Okay.
He was on a sabbatical from, he was a tornado, I think tornado pilot, fighter pilot. So he was on sabbatical from the Italian Air Force, the Royal Air Force, out of RAF Coningsby. And it was the first time I've ever met anybody more keen on Springsteen than I am. He's an absolute Springsteen nut. As Italian dog, of course. I think the Italians and the Spanish are the people who like Springsteen the most, possibly. And so we got talking. We can still remain friends now. He did the tour of New Jersey. He's bought the original copies of Newsweek and Time, which are on his wall, which are clearly worth quite a bit of money as well. So he's a real fanatic, but such a nice guy. We've kept in contact. He's now living in the Middle East. But so you get some friendship from it. One of the concerts I've been to, and some of the concerts, actually, my favourite have been without the E Street Band. Dare I say that? Is that allowed
Please
to say?
Please do. Yes,
I mean,
in fact.
I saw him at Milton Keynes, which was Human Touch Tour, which is absolutely brilliant.
I'm going to interrupt you there just for a minute, Ian. There, I have had a fair amount of people, not a huge, but a fair amount of people that their first concert experience was with the other band. And the biggest thing they have going against them is they aren't the E Street Band. And so it's a lot of people like, nope, but they were a very talented group of musicians. And I would love to hear some of those set lists at this point, because you don't hear a lot of those songs. Better Days is one of my favorite songs. And so I'd lose my blank if I'd gotten a chance to hear that. So I'm right there with you.
I mean, some lovely songs on those two albums. It's a shame it wasn't actually combined to one album. Then it would be an absolute Springsteen classic. But it was the way they did it, the marketing two albums on the same day was a bit of an interesting situation, but they did it. So I saw him at the Todd Seeger sessions and the NEC in Birmingham. Because again, I was right front to the stage. It was fantastic. The only thing I would say about Springsteen on a negative about the concert. So I've seen him pretty big venues like Wembley. Hyde Park, where Paul McCartney came out, if you remember.
You were there that night?
I was there. It was so cold and wet. It was started off nice. And when Paul McCartney came out, the sort of heavens opened. So I wasn't disappointed that the curfew was in place, to be honest. We're all so.
But, you're like, I'm ready. I'm not going to end, but if they close it, I'm okay.
What I was going to say is, so I've seen him at Wembley, the Olympic venue, Hyde Park. And some of the sound is not very good, to be honest. And it's not the band, I'm sure. It's the venues where they are. I was in, seated on the River Tour, I think it was, where Springsteen played Wembley, and I was in the seats, and the sound was awful. It was just, you couldn't, it was shocking. Which is a real shame. It's not the band, clearly. That's disappointing, really. But
I have done that when the only time I've seen Stephen... the Soul Fires Club. The sound mix was horrible at the Majestic. I could barely hear his vocals. Just this music. And so you hate to complain, but this is a safe space, Ian. Same thing. I do not think Bruce will come back to Dallas to play AT&T Stadium where the Cowboys play. I have heard from multiple people that the sound there is horrible for concerts. If he goes, I'll go just to say I'm there. But it is one of the things that was amazing for my son and I is when we flew up to New Jersey at the end of the second leg of the River Tour, the second River Tour, and we were at the Met Life Stadium that for that second night where he opens with Incident and with Strings. And my son kept looking at me like, how is the sound so good in an outdoor football stadium? But it was just amazing. That can be disappointing.
But about Texas, actually, I must say that I don't know if I've told you, I'm in a two-piece band called the Dirty Scoundrels. So that's our band. Mark, my colleague or partner in crime, Mark. He actually goes, his office is based, one of his offices is in Austin, in Texas. And he loves it over there. He keeps on saying, you've got to join me in Austin because the bands are fantastic and the bars. One day I will get to Texas and I'm going to go to Austin. And,
Austin is one of my favorite cities. I drove down to see Jason Isbell. We've just had a great time. Anytime we go to Austin, it feels like a small town, even though it's the state capital. And people joke about it. If it wasn't for Dell, which is just north of Austin and Round Rock, the state capital or the university, it would be a small town. But because they've got all three, it ends up being a big town.
I want to go. I want to see the bridge. I want to see all these bats fly out.
Exactly. Yes. So, it is.
But so I play this two-piece band, the Dirty Scoundrels. And so there are, I suppose if you listen to Springsteen so long, you can't help but some of the influences come out. Like I love saxophone on our tracks and all that sort of stuff. We have been described as a less energetic and more mopey Bruce Springsteen. That's how we've been described, which is a compliment.
Yes, it is.
Springsteen is associated with us. That can't be bad.
If you have a recording you want to include, I'll include that as a little bonus track on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
That we could do a little bit of you and your mate. No, all right. So let's, how many shows did you see in this tour?
Oh, this tour is doing, I didn't.
Okay, you didn't make it in 2023?
I went on, when he toured last year, I tried to get tickets and they're all gone. And if they were available, they're like £400, which was $600. No way I was going to pay that. No way at all. And I was a bit, I know you've had this conversation with the guests about set lists. So I won't
That was my next question I was going to ask.
I was thinking
you, so
this
you're
is
perfect.
A little boring.
That's
a,
no, it's not.
A little boring, but I might never see him again. So I have bought tickets for, I think it's June, he's coming to London again. So I've got tickets to see him this time. Still expensive, but not quite in that realm of £400.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say, thought will be, but
yeah,
you just fantasize about what songs may or may not come up, and the chances are they probably won't come up, sadly. But
And I've been on the record. I understand being disappointed, but I don't understand being mad.
I'm not mad.
Yeah, and I do think that it's interesting. The in his mind, I wonder how, and he's enjoyed the set list, and we often joke about. Like, how do you pick which songs?
I know.
Yeah, it could be. And he doesn't do this anymore, but it would be so cool, right, to when he does three or four shows in a row, set the experience that every show is going to be different.
Yeah.
Right. I'm letting everyone know. Of course, that would just mean that even less people would get to go because people would like, oh, if it's going to be a different set list every night, I'm buying all five shows.
Yeah.
So you can't win. So let's talk for a few minutes, albums and songs, and talk to me your thoughts on the covers album and Letter to You and just a few things about his latest releases. Yeah, how do you feel as an artist?
The Letters to You I really like, actually. Really like it, so there's no issues with that. The only thing is, like a lot of Springsteen fans, you're going to have your own compilation.
Yeah.
Like I've got a compilation on my phone because I do a lot of, when I go on my motorbike, I like to listen to some music and I've got a compilation and sadly there isn't much modern stuff on it. The peak to me for Springsteen was certainly, I've always thought, what's the best album? How would I rank the album? So my thinking is Born to Run, first of all. Then it's for me probably Darkness. Then Tunnel of Love. And so I'd love to hear concerts, more stuff from like Tunnel of Love. He never plays anything from Tunnel of Love and some classic songs on there. And although Darkness is my second favorite album, he seems to do a lot of tracks all the time from Darkness.
Yes.
On tours. So I just wish you'd just mix it up a bit, to be fair. But I think I've liked all his albums. The only thing I would say about him, it's amazing for such a talented songwriter. And fantastic songs. There's always a couple which are pretty rubbish, to be honest. I mean, I think like Pony Boy, and I can think of others, but I'm thinking, you're such a classic, you're such a great artist. Why did you include them on the album? I know you've got far better stuff you haven't released. And I talked about being a frustrated Springsteen fan. I don't know if you remember the interview he did 2 years ago. He promised a 5-CD set list from recorded... In the 80s, what's happened to that? It's just, it's gone. It's something is there. What's happening?
Yeah, my biggest complaint is that I think Bruce and John Landau need to hire a better marketing team. And tickets were very expensive and people were very disappointed. And the idea of making a joke, if anyone's unhappy, we'll give them their money back. Okay, how will you do that? And I know he was just saying that as it, I'm going to give 100%. And then I think John Landau's support, even though he said it's out of his friendship with Jan Weiner from Rolling Stones about getting off the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And I just think that's a bad move. And so I feel like you guys make enough money, you could hire the very best PR group and say, okay, here's how we're going to handle this. Because I remember a long time ago, a Dallas Cowboy player named Michael Irvin talked about that. He said, if you go to Vegas and you lose money, and if your best friend, if your brother took that much money from you, you'd be ready to fight him. And with Vegas, you go, God, I had such a great time. I can't wait to come back. He said, no, it's all how you market. And so I do think that we could, that even though people would be disappointed, they would be, if we communicated better, it would go better. Yeah. So I used to talk about early, I haven't talked about this in a long time, Ian, you're making me think of other topics, is that I had an early guest on and I said, if I had my choice, I would want to show that nothing before Tunnel of Love was played. Just Tunnel of Love straight through to his last album.
Yeah.
And he said, and I would be perfectly fine with a show that was Darkness and Before. And so I'm going to ask you, if you had to pick those two, which one are you picking?
I don't know. I don't know what to say. The modern stuff, a lot of the new stuff I really like. And I suppose we're going to, are we talking about going to concert here? Or these are just,
just the concert.
I probably want to hear stuff I just haven't heard many times played. You mentioned Western Stars. I would love him to play some tracks from Western Stars. I think it's, apart from a couple of tracks, I think it's a wonderful album. But and why wouldn't he play it?
And so, yeah, I was really thinking that we would get at least one thing. I was thinking Tucson Train because Steven had covered it.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people don't like Sleepy Joe Cafe, but I was not a fan of Kitty's Back. I've been very vocal about this. It's just not one of my favorite songs. Mm-hmm. And then when I heard it live, I said, I owe Kitty's Back an apology.
Yeah,
this was awesome. Amazing. Yeah, this was amazing live. So, yeah, I think the issue is all of us would pick, there would not be a consensus of what song would you drop off the album, which one you put in, right? Because different people would say.
Difficult. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
though we all can agree New Jersey Devil is not a very good song.
Yeah.
Night with the Jersey Devil. Now, and if you love Night with Jersey Devil, please disagree with me.
Yeah. Come June of this year, and I'm seeing Springsteen at Wembley. What will I hear? One of my favorites from the USA is Downbound Train.
Yes.
Absolutely love it. It's the only Springsteen cover I try and sing myself. Just love the song. Talk about cinematic. It's just brilliant.
Yeah.
Storytelling. Racing in the Street. Again, brilliant. And then you got some stuff like from the box set, like Restless Nights. What a fantastic song. He never included it on an album, but love to hear that live. And going back to my youth about trying to find Springsteen rarities, I had to buy a Southside Johnny album to get the track The Fever. I love The Fever, the song The Fever. Never heard that played. And again, I'd love stuff from Tunnel of Love, even Nebraska. We don't hear too much. Love Atlantic City, but I'd like to hear some of the other songs as well. Yeah, so yeah, that's...
I would love to hear Highway Patrolman. I think, in fact, here's a fun Nebraska story. Friend of the podcast was retiring. And it was down in Houston, and he said, hey, I'd love for you to come down to attend my retirement party. And so Lynn and I said, absolutely, because we just love him and his wife. And so we drove down, and it was at a distillery, and there was a cover band playing. And they did Glory Days. He had asked them, and the guy was reading the lyrics.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
A bunch of us got up and sang with them. So then they had taken a break, and the lead singer came in and said, all right, this is for Dale. And Dale was my friend who's retiring, right?
Yeah.
And by himself, he did Used Cars.
Yeah, all right, yeah.
And Dale afterwards said, did you have any money on me having him do Used Cars? No. And it was so I was thinking of that, like, how much would you just blow your mind if at a live show they just pulled that one out?
You know, I don't think it's going to happen, sadly. But
no.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But to talking about tracks and stuff, I've actually did a podcast myself. I think during the COVID times when you're trying to keep yourself occupied.
Sure,
I thought, what if I could do a podcast? So I did a 10-series podcast called Springsteen and Friends. And basically what it is, it was playing some of the rarity songs, It's on Mixcloud. It's the only one I've published on because they pay for all the copyright of the song so I can play tracks. So it's got rarities on it, but it's also got people who have covered Springsteen or been influenced by Springsteen. Mm-hmm. So that's called Springsteen and Friends. So that was good fun. It's a good chance to listen to some obscure Springsteen tracks as well.
Are the are the episodes still available somewhere?
Yeah, it's still available. It's on Mixcloud. I only did it as an experiment to see if I could do a podcast and see how it. I think it turned out pretty well, but it is only on Mixcloud. But it's called Springsteen and Friends.
You'll send me the link and I'll include it in our show notes.
Yeah, and I'll do that. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, that way I can get it. So, I'd love to hear it too. I'd love to.
I go under the name of Yellow Belly. Yellow Belly is somebody who's from Lincolnshire.
Okay.
I don't know how it becomes why people from Lincoln are called Yellow Bellies. I have no idea, but.
There we go. That is nice. Is there anything I should have asked you that I haven't? I feel bonus points that I didn't know you were had done your podcast.
Yeah, I think I'm trying to think of anything else really. No, I think we've covered quite a bit. I mean,
I think so too. Yeah.
It's been really enjoyable to be able to share my passion for Springsteen.
Yeah, I agree. And this has been a lot of fun. And I would love in July or after June, you come back and tell me how the show was.
Oh, I'd love to.
All right. Absolutely. So we'll make that happen. All right.
Yeah, let's do that. So,
okay. Then before I let you go, we got to do the Mary question. If you guys are a friend of Ian's and you're listening, thank you. He made you all very proud. I end every podcast with the Mary question. And what that is, Jay Armstrong, who is a retired honors English teacher, but when he was teaching, he would give his students the lyrics to Thunder Road, and they would read them and treat it as if it was a poem. They would discuss the imagery Bruce uses, the themes Bruce explores, and then at the end of the class, he would ask his students, does Mary get in the car? So, Ian, that is your question. Does Mary get in the car at the end of the...
I honestly think there's no doubt. She definitely gets in the car. How couldn't she with an offer like that?
There you go.
I did hear one of your female guests several weeks ago was saying that, you called it... What's the lyric? God, now I've gone blank. You're not a looker.
So yeah, you're not a beauty, but hey, you're all right.
I don't see it like that at all. She definitely gets in the car. In fact, I don't think she changed the lyrics, so I'm sure she... In his song, she gets in the car. The only thing which really concerns me is her dress.
Yeah.
Does it sway or does it wave? I'm absolutely shocked about that. All my life, I've thought the dress waved, but clearly I'm wrong.
There is a group of fandom that will never give up that it waves. Doesn't matter what he says. So there we go. So Ian, if someone wants to reach you, what's the best way?
So don't really do much social media, to be fair. But we have got our Dirty Scoundrels YouTube site where Dirty Scoundrels are on all the download or music file, all on that, the Dirty Scoundrels. Again, it is storytelling, but it's very much sort of UK, British stories. But the YouTube channel where people can leave messages is YouTube/Cotton, which is spelled CotTenham, Cottenham.
Perfect.
And I get that name because when I first went on YouTube, when it first set up, I happened to live in the village of Cottenham, just outside of Cambridge. So that's where that comes from. So, yeah.
All right. Send me all those links. I'll include it to the show notes, the link to your podcast, link to the YouTube channel. Yeah. Guys, go listen to it. Give it a subscribe to the channel. Let's give Ian a little love. Ian, this was a blast. Thank you so much for spending part of your Saturday afternoon with me. Listeners, go check out the website and the YouTube channel, check out the podcast. Thank you, Ian. Thank you, listeners.
Oh, thank you.
Be safe, be kind, and we'll talk to you soon. Goodbye. I'm about to name some people who helped me keep this podcast going. They are the wonderful members of my Patreon group. I appreciate each of them. You can learn how to be a patron by going to patreon.com, look for Set Lusting Bruce, and for a little as $5 a month, you can support the podcast and get access to unedited episodes. And as little a dollar a month, you get a handwritten thank you note from me and a shout out at least once a month thanking you in an episode. So, Sean, David and Jennifer, Jeff, Sylvan, Liz, Yetta, Steve, Coach Randy, Rob, Bella, John, Betsy, Levi, Liz, Stephen, and Steve, Dale, Terry, Chris, and Mary. All of you are amazing, and thank you for being part of this wonderful group. You know I love you.
Trying to find myself a place to call home. I see you looking back at me, and you're beautiful open hair. Darling, take me, please. Take me as seen. You are my soul rider, the one for me. Take
Setlisting Bruce was written by David Rosen, used by permission.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.